If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man Andreas Hell, coming at you guys from Blue Wire Studios in the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas. Shout out to everybody here holding it down in the booth. This is a special week. We'll tell you guys why later on one of our other episodes, but tee it up for you guys now. Make sure you guys listen to everything else throughout the week. Shout out to everyone who's on Patreon. Again, numbers keep growing. Shows keep getting more and more fun. Hip hop show last week was great. I love to see people watching the weekly episodes as well. You know, you guys throw us up on the YouTube, watch us at home on the big screen, all that stuff, more than just our voice. So if you're not on Patreon yet, make sure you guys get over there and join the madness. It's great to speak with everyone there. Tons of stuff for people. We're about to have giveaways over there, trying to finalize some of that stuff. So it's only getting bigger and bigger and bigger on Patreon. Thank you to the Corner Club who's making that happen already. We appreciate you guys. Dre, this week, starting off with boxing. It's been an afterthought. Last week, I don't even think we did boxing. We just did two pro wrestling shows.
We lightly touched on something. I don't remember what it was.
I forgot what it was. And it was like in the beginning of the MMA show.
Yeah.
So it was barely talking about boxing. And that's cool because there wasn't too much moving and shaking. But this week, we have Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney. Huge press tour. Went face-to-face for the first time today. We'll talk about that, talk about their fight. But we have a couple big announcements. So Canelo Alvarez is out of PBC. We'll talk about what that means. And you have to, now we can definitively say, is Canelo a duck or he isn't a duck? And we'll give that answer today. Terrence Crawford, free agent. Not to get overlooked. It's one of those things where time has expired on that Errol Spence rematch. What's next for Terrence Crawford? We'll talk about that. And then Edgar Berlanga wins his fight, gets a stoppage. It feels like his first stoppage in 2 years, at least 2.5 years after the monster run of 16 straight first round finishes. So we'll talk about Berlanga, what's next for him. I feel like that might intertwine with another topic that we have going. So a lot to talk about in boxing today and off rip. But I guess we could talk with Haney and Ryan Garcia because you talk to him Super Bowl week. You're like, Ryan's a little bit different. We talked about Ryan, you know, really, you know, going out there. It just seems like there's some malice behind it. Constantly pointing out that Devin Haney's dad is allegedly a pimp from Oakland. I feel like that's like the biggest stereotype you can get as a pimp from Oakland.
Sure.
But he's calling him out all the time, saying he's pimping his son, all this. Like, it's very, very personal. They were in each other's face today, and it's just the beginning. They don't fight each other until the 20th, which appears to be Brooklyn now.
It is Brooklyn.
You never know with Ryan and his tweets and his crying. This is a Vegas fight.
I mean, it is a Vegas fight, but it's happening in Brooklyn because Canelo's supposed to happen 2 weeks later. So they don't want to do two events back to back. I get it. I wish it was here, but it ain't.
Yeah. I'm not going to Brooklyn.
I don't know if I'm going or not, but yeah. It's, I mean, Barclays, whatever. I mean, Ryan's not wrong. It's a Vegas fight. It's a huge fight. I don't want to. Brooklyn? Barclays? Yeah. Not even at the Garden.
No.
Who goes to Barclays?
Top Rank runs shows in the Garden.
Thank you. Who goes to Barclays?
It was PBC until
a long time ago.
Yeah. Until, like, allegedly lost the contract.
It ain't a great fight for Brooklyn. Like, Brooklyn is not the guard. So
no, but even then, they haven't had a fight there in so long that I feel like people will come out.
No, I figure people
kind of starved for fights. It's been a second.
Yeah. No, I agree. People are going to come out. It's just, you know, like, as you know, covering fights, New York sucks.
Like, not the greatest.
No, it sucks. It's not the greatest. It sucks covering fights in New York. The time difference, the fact that nothing is connected. So you
that's because we're spoiled, though. On the West Coast, that's, and fights getting done at like 10:30.
But in Vegas, the fight is at the hotel. The press conference is at the hotel. You ain't got to worry about a ton of traffic. New York, everything's all spread out. It sucks. I hate fights in New York. I hate it. But if you're a fan, you plan on going.
I love the city, though.
I mean, I love the city too, but I don't like going there for a fight.
No, because my worst thing is trying to find a bar after the fight. Because after I cover all these fights, like, my adrenaline is just through the roof.
Yours is? I want to go to sleep.
Really?
Hell yeah.
I couldn't sleep if I tried. I'm always out.
Three in the morning? I am not trying to be anywhere
in New York. I'm gallivanting through the streets of New York.
Yeah, I'm good.
There's like an Irish bar 2 blocks up from MSG that I usually go to. There's a boxing bar randomly that I went to. Shout out to Corey Erdman. Like, me and Corey went there after a DAZN fight once. Probably the last time they ran the Garden. Me and Corey went there. And then there's like a hotel bar on like 34th.
No,
that's open late night.
The only gallivanting I'm doing is going to sleep. I'm just it's 3 a.m. What the fuck am I doing?
The night is young.
No, it's not.
The city never sleeps, Trey.
The city does sleep. And so do I. I'm going to sleep. Like, fuck that. But anyway, Haney and Ryan Garcia, it's so funny because Ryan, you know, they're doing the car wash. They did First Take. They're doing like all these shows. He did the Breakfast Club. And I said it when I talked to him on Media Row, he's different. And it's not, I think he doesn't have a false sense of confidence, right? I've seen fighters who get into fights, Jermell Charlo, who you look at him and like, you don't really think you're going to win this fight. Ryan thinks he's going to beat Devin Haney. Like, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is no doubt in his mind he's going to beat that man. Like, he's exuding that kind of confidence. It's going to end up getting him fucked up. But it's entertaining to watch, right? Like, he is pissed. He knows he needs this fight. His rivalry, he calls it game 7 because they're 3-3. It's a big fight for him, but, bruh, keep underestimating Devin Haney. Like, everybody keeps doing it. They all keep doing it.
Yeah, I don't think there's many fighters that can beat Devin Haney.
I think there's very few.
Yeah, and I think that peer circle is pretty well known. And I don't think Ryan's amongst those peers that are going to beat him. But if you want to beat Devin Haney, Gervonta Davis, probably. I would pick Tank to beat him.
Maybe.
Yeah, everyone's a maybe. No one's a definite.
Yeah, I mean,
he's that good on any given night. I saw the man lose to Lomachenko, but that's neither here nor there. Teofimo, if his head's on straight, can beat Devin Haney, but maybe Devin Haney can beat him.
I've watched. You know, it's been funny for the past.
Boots beats Devin Haney.
Boots is like 154 pounds. Like, he's fighting at 47. Like, Boots is
that's true, but Devin's hop, skipping a jump from going up.
Nah, it's like Boots is Boots, but again, it's a lot of unproven fighters we're talking about.
Yeah,
Devin's proven. He's the youngest of the group, and he's proven. The funny thing is, over the past, he's the youngest.
Wow.
Yeah. The funny thing is, over the past 2 years, everybody except for Gervonta Davis has had a shitty fight. And Gervonta Davis just doesn't fight. That's the reason why he doesn't have shitty fights.
Very true.
And fans have turned on every last one of these fights.
Every single time.
Fans turned on Devin.
Yeah.
The Linares fight. Some people turned on the JoJo Diaz fight, which I thought was unwarranted.
Definitely the Loma fight.
Yeah, they turned him on the Loma fight. He's only fighting the best amateur to ever do it, but yeah. All right. Fans just turned on Teofimo Lopez for the Jermaine Ortiz fight.
Second time.
Fans turned on Ryan Garcia.
Yep.
Fans turned on Shakur Stevenson. Fickle. Y'all are some fickle fucks. Y'all some fickle fucks, man. The problem is that Devin has proven he's fighting the best that they have to offer. He goes after everybody. And Ryan, for whatever reason, Ryan thinks he's a fraud. And I'm like, have you fucking watched his fights? He's better than you. Like, where does Ryan Garcia think he's better than Devin Haney?
Power.
There's a lot of strong people out there.
No, that's fair. And that's your answer. And if he calls him a fraud, I would venture that that's the only reason. And that's because right. He doesn't sit down and showcase his power.
Neither did Floyd.
Yeah. Early on, Floyd was a little more willing, but sure, Floyd got to the point. Devin in fights.
What about Shakur? He doesn't show power.
Shakur beats the hell out of someone if they let.
But what I'm saying is the idea that Devin doesn't have power, it doesn't matter.
No, I think this Regis fight is the first time I saw something from him that looks like a Shakur, that looks like a Gervonta, kinda, a Ryan, a Teofimo type performance where I feel you out for 3 rounds. I know you're not on my level, but I'm not just going to sit there and pepper you with a jab and outclass you. That was a Linares fight, and then he gets buzzed, and he's like, whatever, I'm winning comfortably. Even JoJo Diaz fight, he's like, I'm winning comfortably. He has one highlight real knockout on his career. Trust, I've searched. And it's one of those things where it's like he was comfortable with that. This past fight against Regis, I don't think he was. I think he was like, I'm finally at the weight I'm supposed to be, and I'm trusting my body. And he went out there and he had like a mean streak to him. And I think no matter what, everyone else has displayed that. Teofimo against Josh Taylor had a mean streak. I mean, you look through his highlight reel, he beat the brakes off somebody. He beat the shit out of him. And then I forgot who it was. It was like a little earlier in his career, like fight 10. But he hit him with a double hook that was filthy. And like, you're just a mean streak. You look at what Shakur does to Oscar Valdez and just walks him down, to Jamel Herring, who he was talking shit to. And then was like, nah, I like you, bro. Chill. And Herring's wife was like, no, fuck you. But just that mean streak was there. I just never saw a mean streak. Aside from power, I never saw a mean streak in Devin until this past fight. And that's a scary proposition because he's getting better.
Yeah. I don't. Like, I'm watching Ryan poke the bear. Like, when he sat down with me, I watched him just trash Devin, trash his dad. He's got more anger towards his dad than he does Devin.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, saying that, you know, he's a bum, he's a fraud, and it's like, all right. And it's like, you're right now, like, at the press conference, he came out on this big-ass throne. He's yelling in Devin's face, and Devin's just like, he knows. It's the worst part when somebody knows they have your number and they're just watching you act like a fool. It's like,
all you got.
It's like, bro, I beat you the last 3 times we fought. I'm so much better in my career. Like, I'm arguably top 5 pound for pound on some people's list. Where are you? Not there. Like, I'm better than all your peers. I've proven myself. And here you are, Walt, wolfing. I think Devin's going to stop Ryan.
I think Ryan's overly emotional. I can see it.
It has nothing to do with overly emotional. It's just...
No, you got to leave himself open. Because Devin's not just going to walk him down and stop him. But...
No, he's going
to
stop him.
Ryan has to be overly emotional, leave himself open, and then, yes, he can get stopped. And that's
Ryan leaves himself open all the time.
Oh, no, it's not all.
Yes, it is all the time. Against a highly skilled fighter, he's open. Yeah. He's open. And Devin is not small. Devin has a tremendous jab. Like, I think Devin's going to stop Ryan Garcia.
Got to just sit down and commit to it. If he does, I can see it.
Like... There is obviously there's a world where Ryan could catch Devin, but I don't think Devin's that irresponsible that he'll just walk into that left hook. Unless Ryan develops another offensive weapon, might be an easy fight for Devin. This might be an easy fight, and it might get ugly real quick. Because Devin's emotional too, but he stays within himself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know what Ryan didn't stay within himself against Tank. He went for it, and he paid for it. Devin doesn't do that. So it's like, as I'm watching, I don't care about the press conference. Like, I think it's funny. I think he's overly emotional. I think Ryan believes so much that he's going to knock out Devin that he's going to put the blinders up when he's fighting. He's going to forget how skilled Devin Haney is. And I think he's going to get stopped.
Yeah, you can't fight that fight with emotion.
Even without emotion, Ryan is so irresponsible defensively that he's going to get caught with something. And it may not be like a one-punch knockout like Gervonta. It may not be that. He's going to get stopped.
See, that's the key. You have to commit to catch him. At the core, Gervonta committed to catch Ryan. Because Ryan hit Tango with a couple decent shots, and he thought, like, this is my time.
Yeah.
And then Tango back up one step, sit down and commit. And he threw right back and Ryan wilted. He was like, oh, shit. Like, and he got hit with what's coming back. Devin, we have to see, as set in his ways as Ryan is, so is Devin at times.
No, no, no. Not the same.
Against Loma, there were more openings to fire and let his hands go. Against JoJo, there was more openings to fire and let his hands go. At times, if you throw at him, his response isn't to fire back and just say, I'm going to land first. His response is, let me get on this jab, throw this stick, get on my bike, get distance again, and then let's figure it out. Let's get back to ground zero, and then let's go at it. That's not yet how Ryan has been caught. Ryan has been caught when people throw between his punches and put his ass down. Twice. Three times you count Tang. Yeah. Tang did it twice. Once before then. They threw in between punches that he was...
No, they're not throwing between punches. Ryan got caught pulling his head back against Luke Campbell.
Campbell, he threw, never picked his right hand up.
Yeah, that's not caught. In between punches. He threw a punch as Ryan was pulling back irresponsibly. That's something that Devin can do. That's irresponsible defense. You don't have to throw in between Ryan's punches to knock him out. You don't. If Ryan turtles up and turns his back,
no, that's true. Yeah.
A more skilled fighter is just going to get around that.
Yeah, that's
and hammer him.
That's
Ryan has
that's
so much
of a new habit.
It's
that it's, wasn't a Reynoso Ryan habit.
No. It doesn't. It's a Ryan habit. It's a Ryan I got knocked out and I don't like to get hit habit. Like it's something that Derek James has to break, and I think Ryan needed at least another fight before fighting Devin Haney.
Yeah, but no one can tell him anything.
No, that's the problem. And while I respect it, I like you going after people, but you put yourself at risk by not honing in on the qualities that are going to make you a complete fighter. Like, you're going to get beat like this.
I'll ask this because we have time now separating the event from what we've seen since. Was it a mistake for Ryan to leave Eddie Reynoso in that camp?
No. Nobody can get through this kid. I don't think it's a mistake. If Ryan felt disrespected and more time was being spent on Canelo. Canelo said that Ryan was wasting the prime years of his career while he was in the camp. He had to go. Ryan needs to be somebody's priority. And even in Derek James' camp, I don't know if it's going to work out.
He's not. He's definitely not a priority
there. No. But in Reynoso's camp, it's Canelo and then everybody else. In Derek James' camp, it's Errol who's not fighting. So Ryan's like the priority. It's right Anthony Joshua who splits his time. Like, Ryan has a better chance there, but with I don't think Eddie Reynoso is not going to fix Ryan's flaws. Ryan is, he's immature. He's young. He had Joe Goosen. Like, it ain't the trainer, it's Ryan. And the things that he doesn't like, that whatever it is, it's not clicking with the trainer, it's Ryan. I mean, it could be the trainer as well, but I wouldn't say it was a mistake for him to leave. I felt like that was a sign that it was time to go. Like he didn't feel comfortable. If you're in a situation where you're not comfortable with a person that's trying to teach you, you got to go.
You're not going to learn.
No.
Yeah. It's just, it's interesting because the trajectory when they were together showed that Ryan would be much more than he is already. You would think, you even look at, sure, Canelo's a priority, but you look at someone like Oscar Valdez, who's a two-division world champion. Sure, he lost to Shakur. Sure, he's taking his lumps now. But he's still always in the mix, and he has his titles. He's been to the pinnacle. Ryan hasn't even captured one title.
No.
I don't think you could tell anyone back when he was with Reynoso, like, he wouldn't be a champion.
I think you could.
Of any division.
I think you could. I think what Ryan Garcia is he's stuck. He's stuck in between all these other fighters. He's not a complete work yet, but he doesn't want to take his time. Like, and we're going to talk about this because we're going to talk about Jake Paul in a minute. He doesn't want to face, like, middling opposition. Ryan Garcia wants to fight the best now. And as big as he is, and his social media following also dictates that. So it's like, if he says, I want to fight Tank, Oscar's like, no. Fuck. Like, I have to give you this fight because you won't shut up about it.
Yeah.
He's not going to fight, like, Oscar Valdez would take the baby steps to get a world title shot.
Ryan's not doing that. He's not going to. So it's like, how do you deal with somebody that's just, they ain't gonna, it's like, yo, I want to take calculus. Well, bro, you haven't passed pre-algebra. Fuck that. Right? I'm going to take calculus.
Then
you just got to give them the test and watch them fail. It's like, all right, and hope they learn. That's Oscar De La Hoya's situation right now. It's like, I hope he learns because, well, I know this is going to come out. When I truly believe that Devin puts hands on Ryan Garcia, Oscar's going to say it was a bad fight from the beginning. Oscar shouldn't say it, but he knows it's true. He knew it was bad with the tank fight because of the rehydration clause, and probably because of what he saw in the gym. Even though Oscar wasn't around as much as he should have been, I think you're looking at, he's looking at a young fighter and he's just like, man, like I said this before, you lose too many times, ain't no turning back from this.
Yeah.
It's not the record, it's your ego. Now that you know you can get hurt, it's a different fight. Like Oscar fought everybody, but there was a natural progression to get to where he's at.
He beat a lot of people before he started losing.
Yeah, he beat, fought everybody. He didn't lose until he ran against Tito Trinidad.
Yeah.
Like he fought Icorte. He fought Fernando Vargas. Like
Chavez. He fought everybody.
He fought Pernell. He fought everybody. But he was skilled. He was an Olympic gold medalist. Ryan is Olympic nothing. Ryan has deficiencies. Ryan has a fantastic left hook. But everybody knows it's coming. Everybody knows it's coming. I remember talking to Tank and Calvin Ford, sitting on that stage. And Javante was like, motherfucker got one weapon. And he thinks I don't know it's there. Like he's like, I think it's the best thing when somebody truly believes in one weapon and thinks I'm that dumb to walk into that. Like Javante's a good fighter. He just ain't fought nobody.
Yeah.
But he's a good fighter. Calvin Ford knew it. They was like, we know what's coming. With Devin, it's different because everybody knows about the jab, but they don't talk about the lateral movement. They don't talk about how responsible he is defensively. They don't talk about the right hand he puts behind it. Ryan, like, what else are we talking about? There's not a jab in sight. He doesn't throw jabs.
No. All power.
So you can't do that against lead opposition. And yeah, the press tour is going to be fun. The press conferences are going to be fun. Fight week is going to be fun, but it's going to do well. But the fight itself, unless Derek James can really corral this kid in and teach him something defensively, other than a counter left hand. And it's going to be hard because what have you seen that works against Devin Haney? You're not as skilled as Lomachenko.
I was about to say that volume works against Devin Haney if you can figure out how to throw enough. You got your head snapping back every 2 seconds from the jab.
This is a stronger and bigger version of Devin Haney.
Loma had like weird angles.
Like Loma,
someone went through the tape of the fight like on Twitter the other day because Devin's obviously in a news cycle and stuff. And they're like rescoring the fight or whatever. And they had it 8-4 in terms of Haney. And no commentary, they said. They took everything off. But all they counted and they measured all the punches. He threw more jabs and landed more jabs than Loma threw and landed like punches.
Yeah.
And the body work to go along with that. But it was a great breakdown. I wish I could find the fucking person's name on Twitter again. I just didn't have it up anymore. But they measured how Loma reacted to each punch. And he said Loma just stonewalled the punches.
Mm-hmm.
So it came down to if he doesn't react to getting hit, it appears as though he's not getting hit.
Right.
So usually a jab hits you, you know, your head goes back a little bit, you got to reset. You can score that.
Yeah.
Devin hit him in the jab and Loma just eat it and keep walking forward. Like his face never jerked back. It never moved to left, never moved to right. The body punches were cool, but the measure of like maybe getting an elbow down or it's sliding through is like, did it stop him in his tracks? Did it stop his move? No, Loma just walked through everything. So it was like, but Devin landed all of those.
Mm-hmm.
My question then becomes, if it doesn't hurt me, what's the measure of these punches?
They're still scoring. That's the point of scoring.
Yeah, that's just my question.
Yeah.
It's like, if you get close enough to just boop me on the nose,
mm-hmm.
boop, right on the nosy, and it doesn't hurt me, but it's just like tap on the nose, tap on the nose. And you do that 20 times, but I hit you with three and it moves your whole head to the left. Shit seems weird here.
No. It's scoring. This is scoring.
Points fight.
Yeah, this is points fighting. Like, if you're going to
tickling my mustache,
then stop getting tickled. Like, that's your job. Like, that's like the difference between Floyd Mayweather and almost every other fighter on the planet is Floyd knew at a certain point in a round, I'm gonna go get this round, right? He never really left it up to the judges.
No.
He was like, all right, this is close. Floyd always had this mode, watch any Floyd fight. It's a weird thing that he has. It's the instinct that he knows when to land clean. It is a crazy thing that Floyd possesses. The lead right hand, when he throws it and that duck under, it's so clean that nobody watching can deny that it happened. Right? You can't stonewall it because he does it from a distance. And usually, this is the most disrespectful punch in the boxing because your hand's the furthest one back. He throws it, he lands it, and the opponent will try to respond, and Floyd's not there.
Gone.
So Floyd doesn't have to hurt you, but he just knows he has to land cleaner than you, more than you, and give the judges something to remember. Floyd was brilliant at that.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, the pull counter is the worst shit out.
It's the lead right hand and the pull counter.
He gets to just overcommit.
It's great.
Shakur does that too, but not to level with Floyd, where the punch stops like a whisper away from them when they pull back and you're just like, oh shit. Cause you can't extend anymore. And you're just like, oh.
Yeah,
and you just know he's gonna rock, come back and just hit you all in the face and you're just upset.
Yeah, it's not that Devin is unbeatable. It's not that he's the best in the world. Like, there are flaws, there's things to take advantage of, but he's really good at outpointing you. He's really good at making slight adjustments. Like in the Loma fight, it was the body work.
Yeah. And he's uniquely built for those lighter divisions.
Yeah.
He was a big ass dude, but the length, the way he fought, it enabled that style. It was very hard to get around. As he moves up, you lose some of those natural size advantages.
Yeah.
He'll fill out. He can take the punches. It's just that length against a guy like a Boots, where you're like, fuck. He's as big as I was to them.
He ain't fighting Boots.
It's just like that. Those measurements are tough.
Right.
When you start moving up and you don't have those natural advantages that you may have once had at 135. So I think, you know, we're going to see him tailoring his game. Even looking at Regis, Regis wasn't as big as him. Like, he was a lot bigger than Regis.
Yeah. Regis is not a small 140 either.
No, but he had like different length. Regis filled out at 140. But it wasn't just naturally bigger than everyone. At 147, 154, that's where Devin will be like, okay, now I'm just filled out. But my natural advantages are kind of gone. And then now it's like, okay, how slick are you? Floyd did this shit while undersized everywhere, which is more mind-boggling.
He was just, again, naturally more skilled than anybody that ever, like, in the past
even
generation.
He got caught.
Yeah, everybody gets caught.
Floyd didn't get caught.
Floyd got caught against Shane. Like, he got caught.
Yeah.
He got caught.
Yeah, but rocked a little bit.
Like, he's the master of his craft. Like, he understands everything. Tommy Davidson was on the Shannon Sharp podcast. Tommy Davidson said he learned how long his routines were through his jokes. So he could figure out what a 46-minute routine looks and sounds like versus a 13-minute routine. He could time it to a T. That's how Floyd treats boxing. The punches he throws, he counts them. Like, Watching Floyd watch a fight
yeah. is the craziest shit ever, by the way.
Oh, and he won't tell you he watches fights. He'll lie to your face.
When he goes live,
yeah,
now that he's retired, and, you know, he'll pop up at the fight, but he'll pop up at smaller fights if he's watching, like, his young fighters or something. But he'll get there and watch maybe the main event, co-main event. Watching him watch the fight, he can't turn it off. He's just digesting information.
Yeah.
And he's rolling and moving with every punch as he watches it. And he just can't help himself. And I'm just like, yo, he's really breaking this whole shit down to the point. Reflexes are a wild thing. Because having reflexes when someone's, you know, 2 feet away from you, you got to react. Not that it's easy, but that's somewhat natural. Like in football, people are like, oh, how did you juke like that or whatever. Like, well, when someone's coming at you and they get kind of close, you can judge space and distance. It's kind of easy to know, like, yo, okay, this is my arsenal, I'm going to move. Cool. if you're watching that and moving and the people are that far away from you and you're reacting in real time, it should be like a tape delay because it's so hard. He misses not one beat.
No,
he's a freak of nature. Like
it's all instinctual for him.
Yeah. It's like going ultra instinct. Like this shit's not real.
Yeah.
Like no one was beating that guy. It's funny where people, someone asked Crawford, like not too long ago, like you fought right now, if the person who fought Errol fought Floyd, would you win? Maybe they asked Bomac or something. They're like, no, Bud win that. It's like, fuck, Bud's really good.
Sure.
But it's hard to see anyone touching Floyd.
It's, man.
I would like to say Bubba win that fight because the power, the strength, fuck, I just never seen someone touch Floyd. Like, outside of one, two, maybe lucky punches, and I can't call him like just well-timed, perfect, 100 of 100 punch, like, wow, I landed at the amazingly right time. No one's really done that outside of like two fights.
Like I watched every Floyd fight I've since Gennaro Hernandez. Like I've watched this man fight. I really have a hard time finding people that could beat him. I've watched, there's plenty of people, you know, let's say Ray Leonard or Tommy Hearns, and it's hard, man. It's
someone would have to be a lot bigger.
Yeah, but even it's not even that. It's because even if you're bigger, it doesn't matter if you can't score. Like it doesn't matter if you can't land punches. None of this matters. And if you're not defensively responsible to deal with what's going, because that Lee Wright is coming. Like the clean punches, if you can't outpoint him, like if you think you can go in there and knock out Floyd Mayweather, you lost the fight.
Yeah.
You lost it from the beginning. Because if your only job is to knock that man out, you're never going to win. Never going to win. You have to outpoint him. Jose Luis Castillo was the only one that was able to do it in a lot of people's eyes. This Floyd torn his rotator cuff in like the third round.
Man, in one arm.
And still barely won that fight. It's crazy.
Beat the hell out of him in a round.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Let's talk about your boy Canelo.
Canelo Alvarez mutually parts ways with PBC.
Yeah, I know what this mutual looked like. You want how much? The fuck out of here. that's what it looked like. I promise you.
Got a safe face.
I promise you that, and this is not inside, I haven't talked to anybody. This is not me reporting. This is just knowing you just fought Jermell Charlo for how much? And you want how much to fight Jamal? No. Like, going back to the Floyd deal, he signs a $200 million deal with Showtime. He fights Robert Guerrero and, like, Victor Ortiz. And at a certain point, Showtime's like, hey, motherfucker.
It's time.
You need to fight somebody. And he was like, what about that Mexican kid with the red hair? He's like, all right, that'll work, right? Because it sells. And everybody was happy. Cool, thank you, right? Then, I don't care what anybody says. When he fought Maidana, after Maidana ruined the plans by
beating up, like, he beat up Adrian Broner, and, like, it's like, all right, you fight that guy. I swear to you that Floyd fought that fight, was like, man, I have to make this close because I need another fight.
Need another paycheck. Got to, like, make people believe.
That fight and the Cotto fight were two fights where all the critics said Floyd's legs were gone. They all said that in every report, Floyd's legs are gone. He can't move around the ring. Then the next fight, he's moving around the ring again. I was like, all right, y'all don't know shit, but all right, cool.
You know what he wants you to know.
Yeah. But in the case of Canelo, I'm sure of it. Al Haymon and the rest of the crew were like, hey, we're on Prime now. We got to sell this pay-per-view. We don't have the benefit of being on a network.
Yep.
You can't just fight anybody and expect to make $36 million. Like, you're not fighting Jermall Charlo. Jermall did himself no favors against Jose Benavidez Jr. He didn't look great in that fight.
No.
Your brother sucks. In his fight, he looked like he didn't even want to be there.
There's a better fight for him, so I'm glad that shit didn't come to.
So, but they're looking at it like, he's right here. David Benavidez is right there. You going to fight him? No. All right. See ya. Like, I mutual is, yeah. Like, we ain't paying all that money. You know, like, what we could do with 36 million, whatever the final number was, they're good.
Who will pay it?
Of course we know we'll pay it. The Zone and Matchroom is going to pay Canelo. Like, Eddie Hearn's infatuation. Eddie Hearn
will pay him whatever. Look,
he loves Canelo. He will pay him. But.
Hey, the Zone back out here. Sing of the Mile. Hopefully they get a table.
We'll see. But.
It's always nice partying with the Matchroom people.
Yeah.
Great, great people to party with.
But it's. The question is, when does a duck become a duck? And. There were people that said Floyd ducked Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence, Keith Thurman. That's not a duck.
Oh, that's end of the career.
That's fuck you want me to do with these kids, right? Like, fuck them kids. I done did everything else I needed to do in my career. What do you want me to fight them for? Not a duck. People are saying Terrence Crawford is ducking Boots Ennis. That's not a duck. What the hell does Boots Ennis have that Terrence Crawford wants? Nothing. That's not a duck. Yeah. I don't. When people say stupid shit, I'm like, that's not a duck. Boots Ennis hasn't beat anybody. As good as Boots is on the eye test, he's beat nobody.
Never had a title.
But he's beat nobody.
Nope.
Castillo Clayton? Come on.
And not a champion, not enough.
Like, what are we talking about? He's going to supposed to fight Terrence Crawford?
I think he's main evented one card.
Yes, but that's my point. Yeah. Like, that's not a duck. Canelo Alvarez, while some people will say, well, isn't Benavidez younger like Boots? Sure. Isn't, you know, Canelo, like, towards the end of his career? Sure. But you know what Terrence Crawford didn't say? You know what, like, Floyd didn't say? I want to face the best out there. I want to be the undisputed world champion and only face elite competition. This is what Canelo said. I want to be the best Mexican fighter to ever live. All right. There's one guy out there who, while you were stampeding through 168, Benavidez got caught with cocaine and lost his title on the stairs. He came back, became a two-time champion. Beat the dog shit out of Caleb Plant.
Yeah.
Like, beat the brakes off of that man. Like he said he would. Didn't stop him, but he beat him up real good. And he's been calling your name. And he's your mandatory. And you say, well, what has he done? What do you mean, what has he done? He's done everything to get this opportunity.
Not a mandatory if it's not enforced.
Well, no.
WBC is never enforcing that.
Look, Mauricio Sulaiman gave Francis Ngannou the WBC number 10 ranking after losing a fight.
Yeah.
This shit ain't sacred. It don't matter. You do what you want. But
he's giving Benavidez a chance to be number one contender at 175 before mandating Canelo fight.
Right. It's like, hey, man, don't beat up Canelo. Go up here and fight these guys, which is crazy.
Yeah. Like, you want to be undisputed? I got a different division for you.
Now,
leave this guy alone.
Now, it's not like Canelo has a better option out there. This is my problem. This is when a duck becomes a duck. It's not like there's another 168 pounder out there that you go, all right, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I was never okay with the Jermall Charlo fight. I said that from the beginning. The motherfucker was so inactive. Why would he fight him? He has nothing he wants.
It was a little worse when he became.
Yeah. And then was Jermall, and it was like, two weight classes? Are we serious? Like, oh, I see what you're doing. You're just trying to ride this out and lie to us. That's what you're doing. I think Canelo's a tremendous fighter, but you're lying to us, bro. Like, you are a liar. So now the rumor is that he's fighting Edgar Berlanga or Jaime Munguia.
Probably both in some order.
What does he get out of this?
Money.
Well, here's the issue. Legacy, like, his legacy is set, yes. But it knocks it back a few notches. Here's the issue. If you say it's money, that means it's upfront money. Because Jaime Munguia is not going to sell more than David Benavidez. Edgar Berlanga, nobody gives a fuck about Edgar Berlanga. Let's just keep it a buck. Who was like on Saturday night, I was like, I gotta find the zone so I could watch Edgar Berlanga fight some Irish dude I never heard of.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nobody.
No.
Except for Fat Joe.
Was Fat Joe there?
I don't know, but I feel like he was so. The only one that was like,
Tracy,
you know,
Morgan.
What?
Tracy Morgan will be there.
Like, sure.
He rides with the Knicks, he'll ride with Edgar Berlanga.
But who on earth is asking for this fight? Berlanga did not look good this weekend. He spent three rounds not looking good.
I would say he looked better than he did in his past couple
he
fights.
He fought a nobody.
His past couple fights, he damn near lost to
nobody. This is my point.
He bit a man, right?
He's not good.
He bit it's a man.
Not, again, if you want to say I'm not fighting Terrence Crawford because he's too small, I will accept that. I will accept that argument. I will say, all right, fine. Even though Terrence Crawford's beating the shit out of Errol Spence in ways we've never seen that man get beat, you have a right to say, man, he's three weight classes beneath me. I ain't going
to
fight.
I have nothing to gain. If I win, they say he's too small.
Like, I know y'all want that fight, but y'all want that fight. I don't want that fight. I never asked for it. Terrence Crawford wants it. I don't want it. I get that. But this is a guy right in your fucking weight class who is just obliterating people, just beating people up. Like, and then headlined a pay-per-view and put hands on Demetrius Andre. And people say, well, Andre was too small. So is Charlo. Benavidez beat the brakes off Andre. Canelo couldn't even put away Charlo. So what is the logic here? This is a duck. You are ducking this man.
It's tough.
It ain't tough. This is a fucking duck. Quack,
Cause,
quack.
Because he doesn't. It's very easy to just make him fight him. Or he would vacate the belt and then it's a clear duck.
It's a duck. No matter how many ways you slice it, it is a duck.
I'm not making him fight the man.
I'm just saying, it's a duck. If you want to fight the best, that's the best. That's the best 168-pounder in the world aside from you.
Yeah. Fighting anyone else at 168, like, Jaime Munguia is not him.
Jaime Munguia is not good.
Jaime Munguia gets a shot before Benavidez makes no sense.
Like, I feel like Munguia's made some progression, but you can't sit there and tell me he's better than David Benavidez.
No.
You can't even tell me he's better than Caleb Plant. He beat Sergey Derevchenko in a fight of the year last year where both of them were three sheets to the wind dead in the final round.
Yeah.
Right? And then he came back and had a good fight. Good win against John Ryder. Who the fuck is John Ryder?
Someone Canelo beat for a title.
And who would... Not for a title. John Ryder didn't have a title.
He didn't?
No, it was just a bounce back fight after losing to Bivol.
Oh, shit.
He's not good. Because he's on the backside of his career and is not willing to take the risk. And it may not just be him. It may be Eddie Reynoso as well. Saying, you know what?
This is all we got.
They're like, yo.
Once this show's over.
I'm trying to cash these checks, bro.
That's it.
You can have your legacy, but it's.
This is the last money for the rest of our lives. Theoretically, Canelo's going to keep making money. Reynoso in the camp. Unless you find another 14-year-old redhead kid.
Nah,
I don't know where you're going to get this again.
This is a duck. There is no, like, if you, anybody listening wants to argue with me and talk about, nah, it's not a duck. Canelo can do whatever he wants. He can. I'm still going to call him a duck. If you're going to sit there and look at a man who is beating up everybody, two-time champion, undefeated, and you're not even going to acknowledge he exists, what are we doing? Like, again, it's
hard to call Canelo a duck when he's never ducked anyone before.
He's ducking David Benavidez. He is actively ducking that man. And let's also keep it a buck. The narrative that Canelo didn't duck anybody is also a lie.
Canelo ducked.
Gennady Golovkin.
Fought him three times.
How long did it take?
Sure. Did Floyd duck Manny then?
No. That's different.
Why?
Manny didn't want to get drug tested. There was a reason there. There was no... Remember, Canelo was supposed to fight Golovkin. Who did he fight? Amir fucking Khan.
Yeah.
Who was two divisions beneath him.
Damn shame what he did to that guy.
Mir had no business being in the ring with him.
Thought he killed him.
Like, yes, he fought Austin Trout when Austin Trout beat Miguel Cotto. Like, he's got a tremendous career. But this narrative that Canelo's never ducked anybody is a lie.
Gennady fight maybe took 2 years longer.
You waited the man out. Here's the problem. You can't wait out a man that's younger than you.
No. Yeah, that's...
Like, you waited for Gennady to get
one way
old.
To deal with him. Just like Floyd did.
Yeah, you fight him now.
Catch him early. That, it's too late for that. Benavidez has gotten too good. Like, he would have had to fight Benavidez 3-4 years ago. Knock him off quick.
Canelo fought Golovkin in a fight that most people thought Canelo lost.
Oh, the first one. Yeah.
Most people thought he lost. And then it was like, all right, we're going to have the rematch. They had the rematch. And then
I scored it a draw.
Then half the people was like,
maybe.
It was a better fight, but we're not sure if you won. And then what did Canelo do? I ain't fighting him again.
Yep. Waited him out.
Waited until he got 40 years old. 40.
Golovkin hasn't fought since.
No, because he's like 75 years old now. I
think he's about to turn 43.
Remember, I was at the zone. They signed Golovkin. Canelo's like, I ain't fighting him. I don't like him.
Who's champions at 160?
When?
Right now.
Right now?
Golovkin still has a belt. He's 43 years.
I don't know who the champions are.
Right?
I don't even feel like looking it up.
Oh, look at that.
It's such a wasteland of a division right now. But it ain't great. But the problem is, like, that narrative has to die because, yes, Canelo fought everybody at 68. In that 2-year span where he just mowed down everybody was excellent. But the lies, like, yo, my man is, he's doing business. He's doing business. Like, yo, he's trying to, like, when he fought Miguel Cotto, he was like 2 weight classes bigger than Miguel Cotto. He fought Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and then said, I'm not fighting any Mexicans. You just fought a Mexican. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Like, I think Canelo's a great fighter, but I think the motherfucker's a liar.
So, we have at 160, John Abeck has 2.
Oh, I almost forgot about John Abeck.
Yeah, so John Abeck seems like he's the real deal. He got to fight somebody.
Don't nobody want to fight that man?
No, God, no. It's like, look at that Triple G again.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to fight him.
Arislandi Lara is WBA
champion.
Yeah,
I don't even know how he has a belt.
I don't know. But he was supposed to fight Danny Garcia at 155 for the 160.
Man, Danny's done.
And then Charlo. Jamal is the other champion with Carlos. Carlos is WBC intermediate. I don't care about interim champions. So Jamal Charlo still has the belt at 160 because they didn't struggle.
No.
He's never coming back to 160.
No, you have to take it. I mean, him and his brother are going to retire off of Canelo money. So they're not fighting again.
Well, he ain't getting a Canelo check, so his brother could retire off that.
That's fine. They're going to share money. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I just
don't. You got to fight Caleb Plant.
They do, but Caleb's going to beat him.
Yeah, and then that's it.
Like, the career of the Charlo brothers, to me right now, is over. It's over.
It was cool while it lasted.
It was. Y'all got away with a lot. Y'all got away with a lot of inactivity. You got away with some mediocre fights, Jamel. Jamal, you got away with being away for a long time. That you called people out and then disappeared. You made a lot of money, Young Lions.
Yeah.
And now it's all caught up to you.
Money goes far in Texas, too.
Yeah.
Crib is nice. Jamal, it just hit me. He about to get his ass whooped by Caleb Plant on Juneteenth. Because you know he always does that Juneteenth
fight.
He
ain't doing that fight against Caleb Plant on Juneteenth.
he's good.
Like, Caleb would be like, I see what you're trying to do. Don't make me beat your ass on Juneteenth. Yeah, like, don't make me beat your ass on Juneteenth. Like, don't do this. This is not fair to me. Yeah. I got a black wife, yeah. Mixed kid. Like, I ain't trying to deal with this nonsense. But the Charlo's career, it's set. But
a stadium booing Charlo on Juneteenth in Texas because they love Caleb Plant more. That'd be some shit.
Look, it sounds like everything I said is like, I hate Canelo, but it's just like, I just don't like the idea of you still saying you want to fight the best. Like, for whatever reason, maybe Canelo thought the Bivol fight was going to be easier, and now he's realized, like, uh-oh, I'm not as good as I thought I was.
That's the toughest fight.
Like,
because he didn't lose a slugfest, he just got outclassed, and it was like, fuck.
He got beat by a bigger man who was technically sound and better.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that was really it. And it was, that loss was okay. It was like, all right, you dare to be great. But this dude, Benavidez, he's just hanging around. Like, you're preventing
that guy has the same measurables. He just happens to be in the same weight class. But Benavidez has the same measurables, except he's a killer alongside.
He's a murderer. He's a murderer to throw 10,000 punches. And it's just every fight, Canelo's getting older. He's got a lot of mileage on his body. Just say, if Canelo was to say, I just want to make a lot of money, I've done all the legacy accomplishments. These belts don't matter to me anymore. I want to make some bread and go home. Everybody like, all right, cool. But stop holding up those belts. Stop holding up them belts unless you're going to fight someone that deserves them.
You don't need to be undisputed anymore. You're already undisputed.
No, like, Bivol's, like, not interested in fighting you.
No.
He was like, I'll come down to 68, and you were like, no, I got to beat you at 75. It's like, bro, you can't just dictate all the terms. You lost. I beat you. Like, you can't just hold on to everything.
No. So he's like, I'm going to go be undisputed, which that fight should be happening
in June. Yes, June 1st.
They'll probably have a rematch, though. Right?
I mean, it depends how it plays out. We'll see. They haven't announced any of the terms. I have no idea.
You know, one good thing about Saudi, they don't really fuck with rematch clauses.
No, I mean, I think immediate rematch clauses are trash. I think they're the worst thing in boxing because while it can lead to Wilder Fury 3, after Wilder Fury 2, I didn't need to see another one.
No, it was phenomenal.
Right, like Spence Crawford didn't need a rematch clause.
No. Errol Spence obviously didn't need a rematch clause. He's like, yo, I'm going to have surgery, fix my eye up again. Y'all do whatever fuck y'all got to do. Like
rematch clauses are dumb. They're stupid. Because if a fight
works if it's super close. If you get the
but you don't need the
race beat off you, it's like, for what?
If you have a really good fight and it's really close, there doesn't need anything to be anything in my contract that says I should get a rematch. We should just fight again.
Yeah.
Like if, oh, I think I beat you, you think you beat me? Let's fight again. That's it.
But people take those wins and run. Well, that's, never look back.
That's the coward's way out.
Yeah. It's like, just like, yo, I know I squeaked by. We ain't running this shit back. Like, I'll catch you in 4 years or something.
I mean, that's what...
You hold this L and keep moving. This is what
Canelo did to Golovkin. Canelo said, I got you, bitch, and ran.
Ran. That's it.
And Golovkin's like, what? Yeah. I thought I won both of these fights. Canelo's like, no, you didn't.
See you when I see
and
you.
And even the worst part, through all of this, Canelo's biggest gripe on Golovkin was like, he called me a cheater. He's like, motherfucker, you failed a drug test. Like, what does that sound like to me? If I'm in the home run derby with Barry Bonds, we're both hitting home runs. And then he comes out with a big ass head and hits more homers. And then he pops. You're a cheater.
Yeah. I don't care what your excuse.
Yeah. It's like me versus you, you're cheating. That's it. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Canelo sold a lot of people on some shit for a while, man. Like, I fight everybody. You do when you want to.
Who would you rather see first, Munguia or?
I don't want to see either of these fights. These fights are not good.
I don't ask you if you want to see either of these fights.
I don't want to see Berlanga at all. To be truthful, want to see Berlanga fight Munguia.
Yeah. They're both going to fight each other after Canelo beats both of them.
No, they won't. Watch.
They'll fight.
Watch. If Berlanga gets his ass whooped, he's taking his money, he's going home.
Nah, because there's that little bit of fame, that little rub you get from being in a pay-per-view with Canelo.
He ain't fighting Munguia.
That's loser lead town.
He going to fight a lesser opponent for a decent bag of money. He's not going to run right into a Munguia fight. So, no, Berlanga's not good, man. He's not. Like that. There's so much wrong with Berlanga that he drank his own Kool-Aid. And as you watch him fight, you go, it's the same guy.
Yeah.
He has not gotten better. As a matter of fact, he's kind of regressed. Because he's been so reliant on knocking people out that he never developed anything else.
No. Man had 16 fights, 16 rounds.
Yeah, and he was like, yeah. And we all were like, yo, he's hitting people and their eyes are getting big. Then he fought somebody, they hit him, and it was like, poof. What's up?
Shit. Yeah.
I was like, oh, no.
And he bit him.
Yeah, he's like, well, I have to fight him.
Yeah.
I can't figure out what else to do.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Real quick, then, fights coming up this weekend. Jake Paul in Puerto Rico. Amanda Serrano fighting on the same
card. She's the main event.
Yep. In Puerto Rico. The crowd's going to be nuts. I wish I could have been on the island for this one. Jake Paul is actually donating all his purse, a good amount of his purse, to help build more boxing gyms in Puerto Rico across the island. He lives in Dorado, but he's trying to space him out a little bit with his bullying campaign. And that's something the island needs to. It's been a while since new boxing gyms have popped up. baseball's next, please. I drive around the island, the baseball fields that I was at growing up are shitty now. Carlos Beltran, get back some of that fucking money. Carlos Delgado get paid every year. Like, nonetheless, no one fixed up a baseball field either. That shit can help out a little bit. But the boxing gyms, great start, great tradition in Puerto Rico with boxers. And for all it is and what gentrification and shit is doing to the island and the colonizers who moved out there and fucking up the property rates and stuff, at least Jake Paul is somewhat giving back. You don't got to pay taxes when you live in Puerto Rico. Might as well do something.
Sure.
So he's giving back half his purse. And he's fighting on a Friday on his own promoted card with DAZN. So he gets a promoter's check and a normal check. And he's working his way up against a guy who I saw a training video of the other day. Looked like he should get stopped in two. He has a pro record, but doesn't look like the greatest of boxers I've ever seen.
Nah, man. He's fighting Ryan Borland, a former Golden Gloves champion.
Sure.
Who fought like 2 years ago.
It looks like it was a long way ago.
Look, I think I don't know what else to say about Jake Paul's boxing career. Like, what do you want him to do? Like, this is what he says. He wants to eventually get ranked by a sanctioning body, which is not outside the realm of possibility. If Francis Ngannou can do it in a loss, you can do it with a few wins. It'll happen.
Yep.
But people are like, why is he fighting this guy? Do we have to do this in boxing every time we have these conversations? Like, who's your favorite fighter fighting their 10th fight? I guarantee you his record was like 2-12. Right? Like, we got to stop. Like, Canelo, I believe, I was looking this up. His opponent was 2-6 in his 10th pro fight.
He was fighting cab drivers.
They all do.
Yeah.
Wasn't
he also like 17 years old?
He was older than that. But the point is like, it's not MMA. Everybody can't be Alex Pereira and win world titles, two world titles in two different weight classes by their 11th pro fight.
Some Lomachenko shit.
Yeah. And Loma had to be the super decorated amateur in order to do that. Boxing is different. Deontay Wilder stepped into a boxing gym when he was 20 years old. He didn't fight anybody with a pulse for 23 fights. So he fought Owen Beck in his 23rd fight, who wasn't even good. He was just a former title challenger. He didn't fight for a world title until his 33rd fight against Bermain Stiverne. We're going to be critical about Jake Paul in his 10th pro fight, fighting Ryan Borland? I don't care. As a matter of fact, Jake Paul's 9-1. It's not like he's undefeated.
Yeah.
This is who he's supposed to fight. It's not like Jake Paul is a highly decorated amateur. It's not like Jake Paul, like, I don't know what y'all want out of him anymore. He clearly knows what he's want. He's got enough money to do it. He's not disrespecting the sport.
No.
He's not. The only thing he ever does that sounds ridiculous is trying to fight Canelo.
Yeah.
Who Canelo might fight him now because he ain't fighting Benavidez. He might as well fight Jake Paul. Give him some money.
Eddie Hearn put that on. Saudi bag.
But, bruh, he's fighting on the under in the co-feature bout of Amanda Serrano against a guy who he should beat, who has some pro experience. He should stop him. And then he'll fight again against somebody who's a little bit better. This doesn't get weird to me unless Jake goes, I'm going to go fight Johnny Eblen from Bellator.
Yeah.
Or some shit like that. Like, this is natural progression for boxing, man. Like, boxing's weird like that. It's been weird like that.
I do think Jake has one more detour in him. I think he runs it back with Tommy Fury.
That's the only one left.
In, like, December?
Maybe.
And he says, I'm a lot better because I fought real boxers now for, like, 3 or 4 fights than I was when I fought you. Let's run this back.
Yeah.
And again, much like you talked about with Ryan Garcia, it's like, you took a loss. Go fight some other people.
Yeah, get better.
Get better. Try again. Ryan didn't give that grace to himself.
No.
Jake's not rushing. Jake's like, fuck it. If I got to be co-main, I'll be co-main. I'll fight on Friday. I'll fight on Friday. Because I'll fight every 2 months. I don't care. I'm the promoter. I'm cutting myself a check.
Yeah.
I don't care. People tune in. I'll make some money. It's guaranteed. The Zone got dough. They'll pay me a little bit. Because when I do fight someone like a Tommy Fury again, or a low-level champion, if I can smoke someone out of woodwork in 2 years, and it's a pay-per-view and a real boxing pay-per-view, I'm going to make the money back. I'm going to win.
It's crazy because, like, I've seen people talk about the Borland fight, like, this is disrespectful, blah, blah, blah. You know what's disrespectful? Canelo fighting Berlanga. That's disrespectful. That's worse matchmaking than Jake Paul fighting
Ryan Borland with his limited experience. Meanwhile, Canelo is a four-division world champion, undisputed super middleweight, fighting a guy who can't do anything.
Right now, cruiserweight champions, Chris Billiam Smith, 200 pounds. Like, all right, Arsene Glarmarian?
They all beat Jake Paul right now.
Of course. Like, but I'm just saying, like, IBF is vacant.
Yeah, I mean,
it's... If the WBC was vacant, Jake Paul fight for that shit tomorrow.
Yeah, it's...
It's one of those things where... I'm just saying 2 years from now, it's not like that's the glamour division, right?
No.
People, if they are there, they don't stay there for very long. So it's one of those things where he can fuck around if he hangs around enough and just gets a little bit better, grab a vacant.
Yeah, I think in the next 2 years, he's going to fight for a world title. I think he'll find himself in a position where he is ranked by a sanctioning body. Also, sanctioning bodies, they don't give a shit. They look at how much money this man brings to the sport. They're like, yeah, we're going to rank him. Because it's great if he holds a world title. Because you mentioned Christian and Billy. He ain't bringing no money to us.
No.
A Jake Paul purse, on the other hand?
At 3% of that purse versus a Jake Paul purse is very different.
You have 3% of what's in my wallet, or you can have 3% of the bank. So it's like, which one are you going to choose? Jake Paul's going to get ranked. As long as he continues to win, it'll be fine. And him fighting in the co-feature battle, it was like, it's just step down. No, he promotes Amanda Serrano, too, in her home country. Like, what are we talking about? Like, you ain't got to like Jake Paul. You don't. But boxing has a lot of problems. None of them are named Jake Paul. None of them.
Yeah. Now he's not adding to any of those problems now. So Serrano, hopefully she wins this. Is this another 3-minute, 12-round bout?
I don't know. Ain't going the distance, though.
Should it?
I don't think so.
But it's one of those where I like that she's still advocating for that, pushing for that. And maybe this probably the fight that gets her that Katie Taylor fight again.
I don't know what's going on with Katie. Chantel wants a rematch, obviously a third fight. I don't know. I don't know.
I just don't know, like, if that's more money than a fight right now with Serrano. And Katie's at the point where she only has so many left in her.
Well, the thing is like, Katie beat Amanda. Yeah. So.
She beat Chantel.
But they split. So there's actually, like, it depends on what Katie's really looking at here. Because Amanda would talk about moving up to fight. It was like, you already beat her. And Chantel, I beat her, but that was a closer fight. So is it the money or is it the legacy? I don't know what Katie Taylor, yeah, she's in her upper 30s now.
Bumgarner's still undisputed at 35, or did they strip her?
They did not strip her. They, like, that was the worst explanation for a failed blood drug test I've ever seen. It's like, she did it, but she didn't do it. So we're just going to close our eyes.
She didn't mean to do it. She ain't mean to do it.
Yeah, Canelo didn't mean to eat tainted meat. Like, what are we talking about?
But I don't think there's any repercussions from that.
There aren't. I ain't trying to say Alicia cheated or not. I just saw the explanation and I was like, this is some bullshit right here.
If you meant to cheat, I know the results of the test say something was abnormal, and you should then at least drop your belts and go earn them back after you test clean again. She had no repercussion.
Nothing. It's like, Eddie Murphy Raw, when Eddie Murphy talks about, you know, his wife cheating on him, he's like, hey, wasn't me. I looked at you dead in your face. Wasn't me.
That's it.
That's Alicia Baumgartner. It's like, she said, wasn't me.
That's it.
You calling me a liar? I ain't calling you shit. You're saying it wasn't me. That's what Alicia Baumgartner did. It's like, she did not say anything else. She was like, wasn't me.
Yep.
Wasn't me.
Just let it blow over.
Move on.
Incredible.
I'm going to call Clarissa Shields, and Clarissa's like, what the fuck?
So, I mean, that'd be a great fight. And
it's not a great fight.
Amanda.
What?
Bumgarner.
Yeah, maybe.
It's more manageable weight.
Yeah, Bumgarner's big, though. The 47?
Kate?
I mean, Katie's was 135, and one was 140. 47 is a big jump. It's a good fight, but Bumgarner does have power. So I don't know if that's the fight. And Baumgartner ain't coming down. It's really weird in women's boxing right now because nobody wants to come down. But everybody wants to talk about not moving up. It's like, look, if you challenge somebody that's better than you, the person that's better than you is not coming down.
Yeah, no. I mean, nor should she have to, right?
No, why would I?
So I'm looking through this right now. She's not that big. Like, yeah, they can get it popping. Because you look at it, she's undisputed at 130 still.
Yeah.
That's a hop, skip, and a jump. Serrano's undisputed at 126. Well, she vacated one because WBC was weird. But Bumgarner's at 130. 135 and 140 is Taylor. So if you already jumped to 135, you skipped over Alicia Baumgartner. Now, can Baumgartner, you didn't mention, like, she looks like she's filled out a little more.
She's big.
I don't know if she wants to cut back down to 130 to defend these belts, you know, but
she might.
It would have been a full year. So we'll see. It's tough when women's boxing, you know, everyone fights everyone. And if you wanted to vacate, technically try to make Katie Taylor fight you at 135 if you're Baumgartner. But Serrano doesn't have to jump up there and beg Katie Taylor. Just fight Baumgartner. And Baumgartner is, at this point, in a desperate position. She looks like a cheater. Not many people are rushing to fight her. 130 pounds. Let's get it.
We'll see. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Michaela pushed her to the limits in that fight. And it's not like anyone has a ton of defense.
No. Michaela. Oh, boy.
I thought she won this past fight, but...
Yeah, she's got to stop complaining.
Yeah, when...
I don't like listening to her.
When you're just throwing punches, you then leave it to the judge's discretion. It's a little tough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. I think Serrano has, you know, options. Hopefully, we see a Katie Taylor call out. But if not, call out Baumgartner. Take that fight. That'd be interesting. That's a fight. You think Jake Paul can market something? You think Jake Paul can't market Alicia Baumgartner?
No, for sure.
That you doing numbers at the least. So I think that might be a fight in Serrano's future. We'll see how that all plays out. It was great to talk boxing. We'll see what shenanigans happen. I'm sure Jake Paul will give us something to talk about because he's going to do a call out. He's going to say something. Damn near might announce his next fight right after he wins this one.
Yep.
Might be for May. It, I don't know. Guy might fuck around and Eddie Hearn might talk him into doing a quick turnaround against, you know, another lower level guy. Maybe he'll be the co-main on the Ryan card or something. Jake is crazy.
He's
like,
crazy.
It's one of those where Eddie would be like, yo, we just need to sell a little more. And like, yo, come be co-main on this. I'll pay, you know, I pay you good. So Jake's just trying to get experience. You never know. So we'll see how all that plays out. Thank you, everyone, for listening to another boxing episode. Thank you, everyone, who signs up to watch us and listen to us on Patreon. You guys are the true heroes out here, Corner Club. Shout out to everyone here at Blue Wire Studios and Wynn Resort in Las Vegas. Follow us on all social media platforms. Like and subscribe wherever you guys listen to the pod. For myself, for the old man, Andres Hill. Till next time, we're out.
Peace.